Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mtukura joining us on the line to give us some perspective on our question for today. And our question for today is fairly simple. If God is love, why does the Bible include violent commands such as those in the Old Testament? Pastor Mtukura, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon, listeners, wherever you're listening from. It is a pleasure to be with you in this talk show.
I wish to alert you to the time. We only have 8 minutes between you and I before we go to the news. So please not feel like I'm rushing you, but I need us to get into the subject of the issue as much as possible. And if I interject, please do not take offense. I am not trying to rush you. I'm trying to be rude.
It's okay.
We only have 8 minutes remaining between you and I. Is that okay, Mfunisi?
No problem.
Okay. Our question for today, Mfunisi, is if God is love, why does the Bible include violent commands such as those in the Old Testament?
Okay, maybe let's start off by defining what love is so that we can be on the same plane. To my understanding, love is from a Greek word, agape, which means love, unconditional, selfless, and sacrificial love. It's love that prioritizes the well-being and needs of others without expectation of reward or reciprocation. So this is what love is. And the Bible goes on to define love. It says in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 8, he who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So in brief, the Bible gives us the definition of love. It points to God. God is love. So in short, we cannot define love as sweet nothing, as some may purport. We cannot define love as something that does not punish. If a parent loves his child, if the child is playing near the road, the parent cannot sugarcoat that child and say it's okay because I love you. But the parent has to take measures to talk to the child and to tell the child how bad it is to play near the road.
That's fair and well. That's fair and well, Mfunisi, and I think that's a very definition of love. But I think the person who's talking here, he's not just talking about discipline, like talking and telling your child and not sugarcoating it. This person is asking about violent commands that God appears to be repeatedly giving in the Old Testament. We see even Peter in the New Testament following suit with Ananias and Sapphira. They drop dead right there. It appears as though, far beyond our understanding of discipline, there appears to be a God who is violent, who not only is violent in and of himself, but gives violent commands. That's what this person is asking about. Kindly just zoom into that.
All right. I also want to agree that love involves punishment and discipline. It is also a form of love. We cannot have love whereby there is no discipline, whereby there is no punishment. Love is prohibitive. We cannot we cannot say there is love if we are left to do whatever we so wish. That cannot be love. But love has to have some restrictions.
Does that include violent brutality that we see in the Old Testament, Pastor?
Okay. I wouldn't want to use those very strong words like you have.
God instructs Saul to kill an entire nation, he does what we have called at the International Criminal Court of Justice, done by Israel to Gaza, as a genocide. God was strictly genocidal there. When God is going to instruct a human being to kill men, women, a combatant and a non-combatant, those that are in the belly, those that are suckling, animal, burn everything down. That goes far beyond discipline. Can you really call that discipline, okay, Pastor?
All right. I want to say, in whatever God does, we need to see an element of love. In whatever God does, there is an element of love in it. We may not understand. This has to be mixed with faith. If we do, if there is no faith, we then conclude and say, God is brutal. God is cruel to mankind. But I want to say, if we may closely look at all the scenarios that you've given us, all the situations that you have highlighted there, if we look down and deeper on them, we can see that in a way, God was showing love. Let me give you an example. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20, it says, if you go to war and see your enemies with chariots and horses, do not be afraid, for your God is with you. And it goes on to say, if you get into the land that the Lord is giving you, if you preach peace to them, and if they accept it, then don't harm them. But if they resist, plunder everything, kill and whatnot. So you may find out that those people, if we go back to the book of Leviticus, we see that they have filled their cup of iniquity, and God had given them enough grace period so that they could repent, but they did not. Therefore, God said to the Israelites, when you get to them, first preach peace. If they refuse, then
just point me to that verse again.
Deuteronomy chapter 20.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 20. Yes. Verses 1, it says, if you go to war with your enemies, and if they have horses and chariots, it goes on to say, if your enemy, if you go against, if you get in that land and your enemy submits, then do not, let me get to the text.
Yes, I need you to get to that text so that I can read it. I'm curious particularly on that text, Mfunisi, mm-hmm. because you seem to be suggesting that God instructed them to proselytize by violence.
No, okay.
So just take us to the text. Where does it say that you must preach peace, and if they don't, you plunder? It's a very shocking text to hear, but I'd like to read it. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse.
Okay, maybe for the interest of our time, I will point to our listeners to the book of Deuteronomy. Let them go and read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20, the whole of that chapter.
Okay, no problem for this. Let's go back. Mm-hmm. Remember, the question that is being asked is on the violence. It's not really objecting to discipline. I don't see this person who's asking this question objecting to discipline and objecting to people who are rejecting propriety. But the problem comes when you're going to say, I have a beef, I have an issue, I have disagreements with Pharaoh, but you killed the babies, the firstborn babies. There's a big disjuncture there. You have an issue with the Amalekite King Agag, his wives and all his people were evil. I'm okay with that. But to kill the children who were not yet born and those who are suckling, I'm not quite sure that still speaks to discipline. And even killing, I'm not quite sure if killing the person who's doing wrong is disciplining them. Is that disciplining the person who is going to now die? Surely that person is not learning anything.
Okay,
they're just dying.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Maybe that will speak to what you have alluded to.
Right.
There is a story that is being told whereby there was this man who was convicted of murder. And this gentleman wrote a letter to his mother.
Right.
At one point, his mother, he stole a bicycle from somewhere. He brought it home, and his father was asking, why did you, I heard you stole a bicycle.
Right.
And his mother knew what was happening, but she tried to cover this gentleman. And at a later stage, this gentleman became worse and worse to an extent of committing crimes and violence, and then murdered someone. And at this point, he was being given his sentence, and he wrote a letter to his mother and said, "Mom, you were a very good mother, but you erred on one thing. You did not prohibit me when I was doing all the wrong things in my life. You allowed me to become what I am today because you did not discipline me." So I want to say, in whatever God was doing, like in the case of the Amalekites, you go because the Amalekites have filled their cup of iniquity. You destroyed them, utterly destroyed them, the wives, the children. Yes, you are saying the children are innocent, but in this case, it was God who gave this instruction.
Yes.
Coming to our definition, God is love. In everything that he does, there is an element of love in it.
Just point us to the love in that scenario. The Amalekite genocide, just share with us which part of that genocide is love.
Okay. God had given them their time. God had asked them to repent. They did not repent during their time. And this time around, God was angry with them now. And like I pointed in the first place, that punishment is also a form of love. So in this case, God was punishing them. It's not
by
to
killing
them only, but to the coming generations, that God does not love this. So these the other generations will learn from what God had done to them.
So who exactly was God loving there? Was he loving the people that were going to be killed? Was he loving the babies who were going to be killed in their mothers' wombs? Who exactly was God showing love to?
In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, it says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and chasten."
Yes, but don't kill.
So, the chastenment of God, it goes beyond discipline. So I'll give you an example. Moses, at one point, he sinned against God. He was asked by God to talk to a rock, and the rock will bring the Israelites some water. And Moses did not.
Mfundis, forgive me. I think we've gone. I'm looking at the time now. I think we've gone way beyond our time.
Our time.
Yeah. Okay, Mfundis, thank you very much. I'm sorry. I said,
sure.
We started very late, but I understand you said
very
you were traveling.
I'm very sorry for that. I was traveling. Yes.
I understand, Mfundis. Thank you very much, nonetheless. I really appreciate your time, Mfundis.
Oh, thank you. See you some other time.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.